Let's focus more now and go south of the border, because let's get some insight from someone on the other side of the border. It's always a pleasure to talk to Maciek Boni. He is an associate professor of biology at Penn State. Good morning. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year and all that stuff.
Thanks, Leslie. Good to be on again.
All right. What do you think of the plan, sir?
Well, it's a good plan. It's very comprehensive, and it's come in the absence of a plan. As everybody's seen for the last year, the federal government in the U.S. Hasn't done very much. The difficult part in the plan is the execution. There's a lot to do, and all of it needs to be done very fast. And the most important part of the plan that needs to be done ASAP yesterday is the vaccine rollout.
Yep.
So this is currently limited by production. Manufacturing is not as fast as it should be. As you said, they want to do 100 million doses in 100 days. And they could, I mean, if everything works perfectly, they could even get that up to 200 million. That should really be their goal. Shoot for 200 million in 100 days and try to get to, say, 170 if there's some hiccups or some delays.
Problem is, if you set the bar too high and you don't reach it, it's a failure for Biden's administration. We're facing this up here in Canada. We have suddenly stopped getting some vaccines as they being Pfizer, do some changes to their plant over in Belgium. And now we're not going to get any doses next week from Pfizer. I mean, there's a huge risk here by setting the bar so high.
That's right. So we are under the same manufacturing constraints that you guys are. We also have not received new vaccines in either my community or the states that I work with in the last week. So same exact problems. The risks are political. You're right. If you say I want 200 million and you get to 170, you get criticized. But the nice thing about American politics is if that happens in April, everybody's going to forget about it in May. So I say aim high and get as many vaccines into arms as you can.
I saw the new press secretary for President Biden yesterday on CNN basically asked the question that from what they understood, the Trump administration had had no plan in getting the vaccinations rolled out in terms of a distribution plan. They just sort of threw it and saw what would stick and then try and take credit for all of it. And then suddenly the shelves are empty at Washington Central.
That's right. So the Trump administration just told the states, so the 50 different departments of health in the different states, to do this on their own. I would say about a quarter of states were doing a really good job. Probably half of states didn't have the financial resources they needed. So what you see is just about a third of the people vaccinated that should have been in that first month, and that's a much, much slower pace than we needed in December and January.
What else is in the plan that you like or don't like when it comes to what you saw from the new president?
Well, public health communication is very important. So to manage an epidemic, you need everybody on board. You need people being nice and civil to each other, standing in line 6 feet apart and not yelling at each other when they're wearing masks. The way to do that is good public health communication. And there's a lot to undo here because the last administration created a lot of disinformation and a lot of distrust. So number one, get people back on board with, yes, we can trust scientists. That'll take half a year minimum.
Wow.
The second thing is the Defense Production Act. So the federal government in the United States has the ability to suggest strongly that companies need to produce certain things immediately because it's an emergency. And the Defense Production Act is going to be invoked or has already been invoked by the Biden-Harris administration to begin producing the critical supplies that are needed for vaccines. So this manufacturing shortage is our bottleneck today that we need to face. And invoking that, I mean, assuming that supplies can be made available, this is the way to make sure that the supply chain doesn't get broken again.
Big concern up here in recent days, and since at least the last time I spoke to you, is the variants. Are you worried about that?
Very concerned.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's a race to vaccinate as many people as you can before the variants arrive. So you don't want to be vaccinating a million people a day while the variants are infecting 2 million people a day. You want that balance to be in the other direction, and you want it to be a 3-to-1, 4-to-1 advantage for the vaccinees. If you can get there by mid-March, I mean, you've got a 50% chance of success. But right now, we're not even on track to get there by mid-March.
Wow. How important is the rapid testing and the rollout of those testings to prevent transmission? I mean, we're hearing of home kits. Is that a possibility, or would you be happy if they just had the standard rapid testing to and from office places, schools, et cetera?
Well, Leslie, there's two answers to this question, and the two answers are yes and no. So in a January 22nd context where there's an emergency and there's 4,000 people dying in the United States every day, you need to focus and you need to get things accomplished tomorrow. So if I had a staff working on everything that needed to be done by tomorrow, I would focus on vaccines only and not rapid testing, simply because I don't think the country and all the agencies have the bandwidth. On the other hand, of course, if you had a public that was going to be compliant, good communication, a possible rollout of these rapid tests so you could get billions shipped to people in the next month, if that could be accomplished, then I don't think it could in the next month. But if it could be, then yes, of course, we should pursue something like that.
Are we going to learn from this? We had SARS, as you know, back in the day here in Canada, and we had a SARS commission, but nothing was really implemented in the big picture, and we're paying for it now. Do you think, as you look to the future, that could be an issue as well 10 years down the road?
Well, I hope so. I mean, the bright spot is that there are countries that have learned from this. So there's probably a dozen countries that have done an excellent job in managing the COVID pandemic, and those are exactly the countries that in 1997, 2002, 2003, 2009, the last major kind of outbreaks and pandemic waves, these are the countries that were most effective. They took those opportunities to put infrastructure and public health responses in place, and if we don't do that here in the U.S. and Canada, that will be a huge failure.
Which countries are you talking about specifically that you like?
South Korea, Japan, Vietnam, New Zealand, Australia, Hong Kong, Singapore, these are the countries that have responded very, very well to this pandemic, and it's because of their experience of the past 25 years of outbreaks and epidemics like SARS in their countries.
Do they also have an advantage because their land mass is so much smaller than ours?
Vietnam is 100 million people, and it's a densely populated country, and it's poor, and they've had 35 COVID deaths.
Maciek, that was a mic drop right there. Absolutely. That's a great one. And I've heard a lot of people saying that there are things, rapid testing, like a pregnancy test, if you had that, and they just mailed it out to everybody and everyone in the country could check it, we'd be so way ahead of the game right now.
That's right. It's an excellent idea. If it could be done, it definitely should be done, as long as it doesn't take away from vaccine rollout over the next month or so.
Maciek Boni, always a pleasure to talk to you. Associate Prof, Biology, Penn State. Thank you for your time, as usual.
Thanks very much, Leslie.